All right, good evening. Everybody find your place. Or find a place, not your place, a place. You know, maybe we need to move around. Some of our pews never get set on. Maybe they want you to move there. I don't know. It is good to see everybody today. I hope everybody's doing well. Again, a lot of things to be much in prayer of, a lot of sickness and stuff. But and through it all, the Lord's still on the throne, and He's still faithful, and still taking care of His children. So, good to see you. Just some real quick announcements. Do remember all of our services next Sunday. If the Lord don't come back, or the world explodes, one or the other, whatever's happened, we're going to have Sunday school at 10, preaching will be 11, and then Sunday night at 6. So, pass the word. Be inviting to folks. Be here yourself. So, be a good day next Sunday, Lord willing. Don't forget April 4th, 5th, and 6th, Brother Knox will be with us. So, looking forward to that as well. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then Brother Russell's going to come, and we'll sing a song and then get into the Word of God. Father, we love you. Sure are thankful, Lord, again, for the opportunity, Lord, just to call upon your name. God, to come before you. God, in that prayer room, that throne room, God, I pray tonight, God, Lord, that you'll please help us tonight as we gather around the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts, our minds. God, I pray your Spirit will have liberty in this place, Lord. And God, just ask you, Lord, to help us, God, to just die once again to ourselves, Lord. And Lord, help us leave better than we came, Lord. And God, I know there's things on people's hearts tonight. I know there's heaviness around about us. But Lord, I'm glad that you said that we could cast our cares upon you. Lord, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that's what we're doing. God, it's too heavy to carry ourselves, Lord. But God, Lord, you said you'd take care of it. And Lord, we just ask you again to speak to hearts as only you can. And Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. For it's in your name, the name that's above every name, we do ask. Amen.
Okay. All right, let's all stand up. He said, everybody find your place. Of course, my place was up here, and I thought, if you want to move around, if somebody wants to come up here and do this for a minute, I'll sit down. All right, so turn to number 157. Number 157. Now, this isn't, honestly, I think we've sung it a time or two, so it's not real frequent, but this one I was noticing when I came upon it, the... It mentions in several places about the armor of God, the different pieces. And so I thought, okay, well, we'll sing it for this. So I warn you, the word, there's a lot of words to fit into this. So it's kind of a tongue twister sometimes. So anyway, so we'll do all four verses. So all the way through. So here we go. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is a victory we know, that overcomes a world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like whirlwinds swept on o'er every field. The faith which... Y'all sing it. I'm not doing a bad job. Is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. I almost want to do that one again because... I totally messed that one up. Okay, it's hard to read and go read ahead and know what's coming up and everything else at the same time when the words are that kind of crammed together. So here we go. Verse number 3. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Remain standing. Okay.
Song. So say, I can only sing the chorus because I had no book, nor there's no way I could remember that many words. So, all right, Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. We continue our study of the whole armor of God. And again, it's there's a war. Our country is preparing. I saw today where our president, he ain't my president. Well, he is our president. You might not like him, but you're still commanded to pray for him. Still remember, I preached that one time and made somebody really, really mad. But it's still the Bible, so it's still truth. And so we'll stay with the truth and let the rest of it fall. But there's a battle. I mean, there's physical battles all around about us. It seems like our world is at a continual unrest. But there is a spiritual battle. And I think it was Brother Young, I remember talking about. He says, we see some things around. He says, if we could see the actual battle between good and evil, it would scare us to death. But David's, David, the battle's not mine. You know, even though I know that how real that battle is, I can't win that battle. But I can stand strong in the Lord, as we find here in Ephesians chapter 6, and that's where we have to stand. So we've looked, and I don't want to take a lot of time going back, but we're going to move tonight just real quickly. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And we've looked at both of those. And last week we looked at the putting on the right shoes, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And verse 16 is where we're going to spend some time tonight. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Our Father, we ask you once again tonight to open our minds, open our hearts to the truth. God, help us to understand there is this battle. Oh, I know tonight, God, as we even read tonight, as we say some more things about it, I know the devil's real. I know there's evil on every side. But Lord, I'm glad as we just sung that song, we're victorious. God, we don't have to walk through this old world scared to death. We don't have to walk through this world defeated, Lord, or discouraged. We can walk through this world, Lord, knowing, and I hope tonight that's where we'll find our faith, knowing, God, that you're able to do exceedingly above anything we could ever ask or think. And God, again, just open the Word of God to our hearts tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, tonight there's several things that we're going to try to look at. Verse 16 again, it says, above all. And up to this point, if you think about this armor, He told us to put on, again, verse, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. That was a putting on of something. And then he talks about putting on this breastplate. And then he's talking about putting on these shoes of the gospel of peace. But now we go to a piece of the armor of God that is not a wearable per se piece. He tells us to take up this shield of faith. So there is that difference tonight. And again, he says, above all. There is a rhyme or reason in this armor of God. And as we've looked at the thought of our loins girt with truth, our breastplate of righteousness, our shoes with the gospel of peace, above all, take this shield of faith. And we're going to get into faith here in just a little bit. But without faith, it would do no good to have your loins girded with truth. Because it takes faith to know that truth. Without faith, there would be no trusting of this breastplate of righteousness. It takes faith. Same thing with the gospel. It takes faith. And that's the reason tonight, above all, we have to have faith. How much faith? Well, what will a little do? I don't think we have to worry about how much. If we could just get the little done. So, above all. And this is that place that you remember the man in the Bible that says, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. There's no doubt in my mind looking around this evening. We all believe who Christ is. We believe the basics of the Bible. It's easy to sit in this room and say, I believe. But faith really isn't believing. I'm getting ahead of myself. Faith is not a knowledgeable process of your mind. Faith is so much more than just believing. Again, he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. So again, we're here to see tonight about taking up this shield of faith. In this one verse here tonight, as he tells us here again, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, there's something different about this piece of armor that God's talking to us about, because he adds something to it. He says here, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, and I've got my Bible highlighted and marked up, but quench, and then I circled all. This faith that the Lord's talking about is all we really need. So he tells us that it quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, in this, we're going to look at two things, basically. First, I believe we need to look at the thought of this fiery dart. He tells us to take up this shield of faith, and if we'll take that shield of faith up, it will quench all those fiery darts. So, tonight, let's look a little bit about this weaponry that we're being attacked with. Look with me over in the book of Luke. We'll turn to several places tonight. Encourage you to follow along. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 31. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know, if I was Simon, I'd be scared to death if that's where that stopped. But tonight, just as much as I know the devil would like for me to mess my life up, he can't mess my life up. Only I can do that. Because, yeah, the devil, and we'll get to this in a minute, but the devil can only do, as we look through the book of Job, God only allows the devil to do what God wants him to do. But you and I are the ones that either we have faith or we don't have faith. But we understand tonight that the devil has a desire. And tonight, as a child of God, we know that he cannot have our salvation. At least I hope you know that. We are sealed. We have eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot take our salvation. But he can take your joy. He can take your testimony. He can take your work for the Lord. That devil would like to destroy you. He would like to take you to the place. And again, it's not always about destroying. He could get you just to quit. Not to really follow after Christ. Just sit down and ride this thing out. Oh, he can't have you. But he says, I could have your children. I could have your grandchildren. I can have your neighbor. I can have your co-worker. If you'll just be quiet. See, that's just as much as it is as an attack to any of the other parts of it. But again, it says here, the Lord had a desire to sift him as wheat. Thank God for verse 32. The Lord says, but I have prayed for thee. Amen. That thy, notice the word, faith fail not. Tonight, God tells us that we have to take this shield of faith. Take it up. Arm yourself with this shield of faith. Look over in 1 Peter. Most of us know this verse, but we'll look at it. 1 Peter. This devil. And again, we started out with this thought of the armor of God, that the battle is really not from without. The battle is really more within. But the devil does have a desire. I'll get there in a minute myself. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Again, Simon, the devil desires to sift you. Child of God, the devil is like a roaring lion. Not just out there to make a lot of noise. He's seeking. He is looking. He is trying to find a way into our church. He's trying to find a way in your life. He's trying to find a way into your family. He's seeking. He's looking. Better than we are looking. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 11. The The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, that word ignorance, this isn't our study tonight, but that's probably not what you think that is. Ignorant doesn't mean you're stupid. I know Si would say, don't say that. He don't like for me to use that word. But ignorant doesn't mean that you're unlearned. So what does ignorant mean? Ignore. You ignore this truth. It's not that you don't know. You're just ignorant. You ignore what this truth is. So again, it tells us here that Satan could get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I don't know what's going to take place in the Ukraine. I don't know what's going to happen there. I saw a little blip today where I think it was, who was it, England? Somebody had to scramble jets today because Russia flew some bombers pretty close to their country, never came into their territory. But even now, I'm sure there's people that have studied Russia or Ukraine, and they're trying to figure out all their devices. They're trying to figure out how many ships are there, how many planes are there, how many troops are there. They're trying to not ignore what the threat really is. So one of the ways that this shield of faith needs to work is you need to understand that, again, we are in that battle. But we should not be ignorant of the devices that Satan has. And again, he's got a pretty good toolbox. He's got a pretty good weaponry. Just put some things down here. Temptation. That's a big one in nowadays. But I'm glad the Lord tells us that we can't be tempted beyond, not our abilities, but his. So the devil likes to use temptation, immorality, my goodness, heightened rates of these days, hatred, anger, covetousness, envy, fear, distrust, doubt, pride, all those things are in his arsenal. And we need to understand not to be ignorant of those devices. When those things become evident in my life or your life or our lives, we need to understand where those things are coming from. Not the Lord. So he tells us to take up this shield of faith, and it will quench all the fiery darts. Now, you've probably seen it in movies. You've probably thought about it maybe. But God uses this great example here of the devices of Satan. He illustrates it as a fiery arrow. And you probably, again, they would take an arrow and wrap cloth around that arrow and dip it in something and light that. And those archers would let them things fly. Very dangerous. Destroy all kinds of things. And that is what Satan is doing to the people today. He is shooting fire. Why? Because he wants you to burn. He wants you to scramble. He wants you to be uncomfortable. So again, he's firing these fiery darts. But if we take the shield of faith, faith can quench. Now that takes out what? That word quench. Does that mean that the darts quit coming? No. You're going to be constantly bombarded with trials and troubles. Preacher, that's not really encouraging. But if we have the shield of faith, it will quench, it'll take that fire away, but the devil still shoots. Now, this shield of faith, and when you think about that shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield, and again, probably everybody in here can picture in your mind that shield. And again, God is using here, I believe, things that was evident in Paul's life, things he had seen. But if you go look at the Roman soldiers, they basically, what I can find out, they had two different types of shields they used. One was a small circular type of shield that they would wear on their forearm as they fought. The other one, and I can't pronounce the word the way it's supposed to, but that word means like a door. They had the small shields, but then they had also the large shields that when these attacks were coming, because that little shield, it didn't do a whole lot when things are really getting at the beginning of the battle per se. But then they would take those big shields, and what really tickled me and just made me just think for a moment, they would take those shields and they would make it where they would lock together because it built strength. And boy, I can't help but think if we here as God's children would take up our shields of faith and lock our faith together like the body of Christ should be, wow, the defensive system we would have. So, this shield, again, the very first thing that would come to your mind about a shield is what? Protection, of course. A shield is to protect. It also is a defensive weapon. They would use that to hit or to distract or to fight with. So this shield of faith is that protection. It's also a defense. But this is one I thought very interesting. I thought, praise the Lord. I don't know you fellows that were in the military, but what's the word I'm thinking of? It's not girding. What's the two sticks and two poles and a piece of canvas in between? A stretcher, is that right? Stretcher, whatever. I found it very interesting that those shields that they used as a defense mechanism, those big ones that they would lock together to hold that fortress, it was used to protect, it was used there for defense, but they would also take those big shields and to use those to carry the wounded or carry the dead back home. And I got to thinking, my shield of faith is going to carry me home one day. That's what's going to get me to the house, is my shield of faith. So, we sort of know about a shield, but what kind of shield? Again, they had different types. Let me say this, I thought this was very interesting too. We'll read a verse here, and this is a little bit found in Isaiah 21, that tells them to anoint the shield. In those days, fiery darts were a weapon of choice. These military people would take their shields, and they would either do two things to their shields. They would soak those shields so that when one of those fiery darts hit them, it would put it out. But then I found another thing that they would do. They would actually sometimes grease their shields so that when the enemy was slicing at them and it would hit that shield, it would make it bounce off. It would slide off of it. It couldn't find any traction into it. And I thought, that's what God wants us to do. We need to soak our faith in what? Here's your word. Here's your water. Your faith needs to be soaked. So when those fiery darts come, it'll quench them. But faith. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. The great hall of faith. What is faith? Anybody ever heard somebody make this statement? If you make it, please teach yourself not to say it, this statement. You ever heard anybody talk about blind faith? That's impossible. Now, when we use the word faith, did you know all of you exhibited faith when you came in here this evening? How do you know? Every one of you sat down on a pew. You put your faith that pew would hold you. You didn't even think about it. You just plopped down right there. You trusted that whoever built that pew built it in such a way that it would hold you. That's faith. And we're not talking about that kind of faith. We're talking about a different faith, that spiritual type of faith, but it does work the same way. So, faith, there is no blind faith. Faith, notice here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, you want to know what faith is? Here it tells us. Now, faith is what? The substance. There is something. Substance is there's something. It's not blind. There's something there. There's a substance to faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Anybody drive over a bridge tonight to get here? You didn't see the part of that bridge that actually keeps you from falling in. But you trusted that somebody did that right. You trusted that it would keep you from falling in the hole. That's this faith. It's a substance. There's something there. And it tells us again that this substance is of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you got to be careful with that word hoped for. It's not like a hope. Well, I hope something happens. That's not that kind of hope. This is something that's firm, true. So, again, what is faith? If we're going to take up this shield is a shield of wood. This shield is a shield of leather. This shield is not a shield of metal. This shield that God desires you and I to take up is made out of one thing. Faith. Not blind faith. Faith has substance. Now, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but just drawing our mind back to it. Faith is not believing. There's a lot of people who believe a lot of stuff. Faith is not just pure academia. I know a lot of people that by college and book, they're pretty smart. But when it comes to common sense, there was a hole in the bottom of their bucket. It's not just academia. It's not just thinking. So what is faith? Faith is exactly what I tried to describe to you. That pew that you sat in. You just sat down. You didn't even think about. Now, I've sat in some chairs that I thought about. You know, you put your hand on it and it wobbles about like this. It's like, I don't know if this thing's going to hold me or not. And you didn't plop in that one. You sort of eased down in that one. Faith is this. It's simple. It really is simple. Trust. Faith is an action of trust. Brother Rick, I know from the missionary side of things, faith is such a key because so many people, and I'm not saying this to on the negative, I hope, but so many people want to figure out how God works. There's people that and I say this about missionaries because You better have that faith. You better put your trust not in yourself, but you put your faith in the Lord. You're trusting Him to meet that need, to provide the money that it takes, provide the whatever it is, to be what you are called to do. That's faith. It's trusting the Lord. I can't see that. I have no idea how God does some things at a time, but I just know He does. I'm just trusting the Lord. That's our faith. So we need to learn not to try to figure God out. You just need to soak up the book and then put that book to action. That's, again, I have no idea how God does that, but God just does it. I'm just trusting Him. So we need to take up this shield of faith. And again, everyone has faith. Lost people have faith. It's just, what's their faith in? Some of them are trusting a bottle. Some of them trusting a pill bottle. Some of them are trusting whatever, their flesh. They're trusting something to get them something. But we as God's children, we need to put our faith in only one place. That's in the Lord. Don't put your faith in a preacher. Because guess what? Preachers fail. Preachers fall. Don't put your faith in a church. Why? Churches fall. Churches falter. Put your trust, put your faith in the Lord. So this shield of faith. Now, let's look through some verses real quickly this evening. Look over at John chapter 1. What is this faith? What is this trust? What does it do? John chapter 1. Verse number 12. What is faith? Faith is the hand that receives the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, right? But it takes faith. It's not passing a test. It's not knowledge of what people tell us. When we get saved, when we receive the gift of God, it's by faith. You can't see it. You can't understand it. But you are trusting that God will do what God says He's going to do. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You believe that? But do you trust that? That's what faith does. Faith gives a person, when we put our faith in God, again, I still can't tell you how you're getting to heaven. What do you mean, preacher? I'm just trusting the Lord. Well, this is what's going to happen. Are you sure? I'm not. But I'm trusting the Lord to do what He said He's going to do. I've asked the Lord to come in my heart. He saved me. He told me He's going to prepare a place for me. He's coming to get me. I don't know how all that works. I'm just trusting through faith. We just read Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is that substance of things not seen. Faith is our eye. That goes beyond seeing the here and now. That's what faith does. We've got to look beyond what we see right in front of us. Because usually what we see in front of us is all flesh. But I'm looking beyond. I'm looking for something that God says is there. And I'm trusting Him. Look at Romans chapter 10. What is faith? It's not only the hand that receives the gift of God, but it's also the heart's response. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And again, faith is more than believing, but it is believing with trust. I'm trusting God to do what He says He'll do. And with the heart, I'm trusting Him. That brings us unto righteousness. So, what is faith? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 again. Again, Hebrews chapter 11 is that great hall of fame of faith. And we've seen faith work through the actions of these people. But another thing of faith, how many of you, I don't think anybody in here from the pulpit out can tell you ever promise that God's made us. But He's made us a lot of promises. Right? Now, I've been promised a lot of things by people. And even when they opened their mouths, I was pretty sure that that wasn't going to happen. But when God promises something, faith is what gets me to the place that I don't have to question that promise. God promised me to never leave me nor forsake me. God, He's here with me all the time. It takes faith to believe that. So look at verse 11. Here's dealing with Sarah. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Tonight, again, I don't know what's coming around the next corner. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But my faith, my shield of faith, I know I put my trust not in me. I put my trust not in some person. But my trust is in the Lord. And that faith, He's going to do exactly what He says He's going to do. And I don't doubt that at all. So, He tells us to pick up this shield of faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Faith. What is faith? Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Now look at the question. Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So faith, and I love this word, because I hope that one thing that my wife and I try our best to do is I want to be a piece of conduit. Some of you might not understand conduit. Conduit is used to get something from one place to another. And that's exactly what faith does. Faith is the conduit that God uses to show His power. Do you understand some of the miracles that God does today? I got no idea. But I just know it's God's power through faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 again. Take up this shield of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. What is faith? Look at verse number 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, you put yourself in that situation. You put yourself there looking at this giant fortress of a wall. And God tells you to do what? To walk around it 7 times? And He's going to make it fall? Come on now. See, that's not faith. What's faith? Faith is trusting God and then you being obedient. That's what faith will bring. Obedience is one of the things that I believe that we all need work on. Because we are human. And we like to try to figure things out, or we like to run it through our brains. I've made mention before. It took a lot of training, and I don't know if we ever did get it trained, but I trained my children, or tried to change my children, and I'm sure my grandchildren hadn't got it yet, but I hope they're trying to train them. When we told our children to stop, that didn't mean turn around and look at me and go, huh, and keep going. That means to stop. Don't ask any questions. Why? Because I see something that's going to hurt you. And you better stop. So when God tells me to stop, or God tells me to go, or God tells me to turn, faith is just obeying God, that you don't question the stopping or the going or the turning. That's what faith is. Faith. Romans chapter 10. We've already quoted this verse, but I want you to see it. How do you attain faith? Again, everybody has faith. It's just depending on what your faith is in. Verse 17, 17. So then faith. What is faith? We looked at some things that faith is. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we have faith. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's always been there, but I feel like it's worse today than it's ever been in my lifetime, of course. Today, it's hard to deal with people because they don't believe the Bible. You know, back, and it's not been that many years ago, we could go out witnessing and tell people what the Bible would say, and they'd never read the Bible in their life, but they understood the Bible was God's Word. And they would listen to it in that fashion. Oh, but the old devil has taken man on a journey and has led him so far away that now, man, when you say, well, the Bible says, they'll look at you with true trust in themselves and say, I don't care what the Bible says. But see, this shield of faith that's going to quench all those fiery darts comes by hearing the Word of God. So that's how we obtain it. It's character. What is the character of faith? I don't have a lot of time, but look back over at Romans chapter 1. We mentioned this word again once before. We'll mention it again. One of the characteristics of faith, when you are truly walking in the faith carrying this shield of faith. What will faith do? Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for, that little word again, obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. That's what faith produces. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Faith brings forth a testimony. It's not about what Anthony does or isn't what Teresa does. It's what God does through us, through faith. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. See, there's that locking together of the shield of faith. That's that fellowship. How in the world can people from all over the world, I can't help but think of, his name has left me. Steele, Brother Steele. He preached that message, Brother Thomas Steele. He preached that message. He had a red apple and a yellow apple. And I don't know, maybe a blue apple. I don't know. They all look different on the outside, don't they? And tonight as I look at us, we're all different. I get tickled at my wife sometimes. She'll somebody will say something that they don't like. She'll say, that's good. You know, we don't all like the same things. God didn't make us that way. You might like Brussels sprouts. I ain't going to eat them. You can have mine because I don't like them. Oh, but they're good. Not to me, they're not. Maybe to you. But then you say, I like them. Why don't you like them? Because we're not the same. A red apple, a green apple, a yellow apple, a blue apple. They're all different. But when you cut them open, they're all the same on the inside. Faith is what can bring people from Salisbury to even California and some other foreign countries. But faith, not my faith in Biden, not my faith in our government, but my faith in the Lord. If you've got faith in the Lord and I got faith in the Lord, that faith will bring fellowship because we're trusting the same thing. So it brings fellowship. It also brings life. Its results. I'll read these down through it. We won't turn to every one of them. What does faith result in? Luke chapter 7, verse 50, salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, justification. 1 Peter 1, 5, faith is what brings forth that eternal part of salvation to us. People fight their salvation sometimes. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? Listen, if you're trying to figure it out in your own brain, you're never going to settle. But my faith that I put in Christ, I put my trust of salvation all in Him. I'm secure. It brings forth patience. Boy, that's a good one. Faith brings forth patience. As all those fiery darts are just continually bombarding, and you've got that faith shield up, you're just being patient. Because sooner or later, the Lord's going to say, it's time to move. It brings forth patience. It brings forth victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Now, faith, what is it? We've looked at it. What's the source of faith? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Where does it come from? What's the source of faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But also, look, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Again, that's what it brings forth. But where does it come from? And not of yourself. Notice, it is the gift of God. So faith is a gift. It brings forth salvation. But it comes from the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the basis of our faith. He's the object of our faith. Look at Romans chapter 4. Wrong place. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm sorry. Romans 4:13 is righteousness by faith. But I want you to see this one. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This goes along with what I said earlier. Ephesians chapter 4. Take up the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. One Lord. You agree with that? No matter if you agree with it or not, there's just one Lord. One what?
Faith.
One baptism. Faith is unity. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a beginning of faith, but there's also an end of faith. Verse number 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Faith is not seeing. But one of these days, we won't live by faith. Why? We're going to be in front of Him. There will be no need of faith. A couple more places. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Two more places, to be honest. Most of us know this verse. Take up that shield of faith we found in Ephesians chapter 6. We look at what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You can't please God without faith. Take up the shield of faith. I mentioned these verses earlier, but I want us to read them. Go to the book of Isaiah real quickly, and we'll close with these. Unusual prophecy God throws here in Isaiah chapter 21. Hundreds of years before this is actually going to take place, but again, it's faith. God told them some things.
Isaiah 21, verse number 1. The burden of the desert of the sea. That's Babylon. That's that. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, when we're out of here, the Bible says that there'll be no more what? Sea. Sea is a picture of troublesome. Sea is a picture of unsteadiness. This here's a picture of Babylon, the burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through. So it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. Verse 2, a grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, and the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Verse 3, the prophet says, therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pains have taken hold upon me as the pain of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. Verse 4, my heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Verse number 5. Prepare the table which in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise ye princesses, and anoint the shield. He goes on to say, it says, for thus saith the Lord, said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried a lion. The devil is like a what? A roaring lion. And here we find this prophecy about how Babylon is going to fall. And they did. Through two small little groups here that in those days, nobody could have ever believed that would ever happen, but it did. That's what faith is. And God says we need to get some preparation. We need to get the table prepared. We need to get the watchman on the tower. We need to cry loud. And we better get our shield ready to go. So, again, he tells us to take up this shield of faith, above all. Why? Because the old devil is going to be shooting some darts at you. They're going to burn you if you don't have that shield that will quench all the fiery darts. So, who are you trusting? Trusting you? That's not faith where it needs to be. Trust the Lord. With what? All thy heart. Do you trust Him? I've used this before. I'll use it again. This sort of falls in place. Probably some of you remember it. Some of you probably never heard it. But God doing the high wire act. He's hundreds of feet up in the air. And he's got a wheelbarrow, and he walks that thing across that high wire. I mean, he's wobbling and weaving and all that stuff as he pushes that wheelbarrow, and he gets the other side, and everybody's like, yay! And he looks down and asks the guy, he says, think I can do it again? Oh, yeah, you can do it. Get in the wheelbarrow. That's faith. That's trusting that God can do what He says He'll do. Above all, taking the shield of faith. We've got to get our faith off of things, our faith off of people, and get our faith on who is supposed to be, and that's the Lord. He'll never fail. I fail. He'll never fall. I'll fall. Faith is not just believing, not just knowing. Faith is trusting. Now tonight, if God asks you tomorrow to hand a gospel tract out, it takes faith. Do you really believe God told you to do it? Then why don't you do it? Do you trust Him? Faith. Let's stand together this evening. Lord, I believe. But. See, when you put that but there, that's what messes it all up. Lord, I believe, but help thine unbelief. Tonight, are you fully trusting? Do you really trust the Lord to do what He says He'll do? Oh, yeah, preacher, I do. But when those fiery darts come, what are you going to trust? They're coming. But if you'll take up that shield of faith, trusting that the Lord will do what He says He'll do, it'll quench all. Brother Russell, sing one verse tonight. You just find the Lord this evening.
As I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for
preacher,
me.
I got to do something now.
And that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Did you put a sheet out? All right. As she's going after that, do remember Lord Welland Sunday school. Let's be here. Let's invite somebody. Let's have some faith. Let's trust the old preacher. What if? Trust the Lord. Do pray for the lost, of course. Remember our church, our missionaries. Pray for revival. I hope you have been. I hope you will. I hope you'll be lifting Brother Knox up to the Lord. Remember our missionaries, of course. I did talk to Brother Bill. His daughter is having some complications. Did you say she was in the hospital? She is in the hospital. Thank you, Brother Dan. So do pray for her. Still waiting to find out. Hopefully praying, if it be the Lord's will, that she'll get in on that treatment, but again, we're just trusting the Lord. So do pray for Brother Phil and his family, of course. Remember Miss Aretha? She did have to go to the hospital today. They didn't keep her. She does have some fluid and different things. They gave her some medicine, different things. So hopefully that's going to take away a lot of that. So do pray for Miss Aretha. Can you pray for Brother Melvin, Miss Linda, Miss Rose? They have brought hospice in for that. But she's in good hands. The Lord's got her. I'm not trusting Melvin. I'm not trusting Miss Linda. I'm not trusting hospice. Sure am trusting the Lord, though. He'll take care of it. So remember Miss Rose there. Brother Hunting, of course, continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for Brother Sheldon and his family there. Do pray for Brother Roush. Brother Roush is really struggling. If you get a chance, he could use some encouragement. If you will, just pray for him. Call him if you can. Again, a lot of people still recovering from the COVID, so do pray for that need there. Ryan, and I don't know how to say that last one, but Miss Dillard, so it's Teresa's cousin, so do pray for that family. I got some needs there. Steve Reynolds, liver and kidneys shutting down, so has leukemia, so do pray for that need there. Silas, pray for his daddy when he comes home. Hopefully tomorrow, if he's not snowed in the great state of Oklahoma. So he's already had two flights canceled, and hopefully he'll get home tomorrow. So Silas wants us to pray for that. I do pray for Miss Amy's for some recovery needs there. So, anybody got any prayer that they'd like to say, Lord, help me? Anybody got needs? Y'all don't have any needs? Wow, I need to come to y'all's house. We all have needs. How's it going to happen? What's going to take care of it? By faith. I'm just going to trust the Lord. What if it don't turn out the way you want it? It's not about what I want. If it's what I want, it could be right, or it probably isn't right. But if it's what the Lord wants, guess what? It's just right. So, all right. If you'd like to gather around the altar, you can come this evening. We're going to carry these into the Lord. If you'd like to pray where you're at, you can do that as well. Don't forget, service is this coming Lord's Day. I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll be inviting folk. I hope you'll be praying. Father, we do thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity, the privilege, God, just to call upon your name. And I was just thinking prayer, what a picture of faith. Lord, I don't understand how prayer works. I don't know how you can hear every heart, every knee, but God, I just know you do. And God, I just ask you this evening, Lord, help our unbelief. Help us to put our true faith, put our feet firmly, not on us, but on you. Lord, I pray for the needs of the church here tonight. God, I know, Lord, that there are many. Lord, I pray for our missionaries tonight. I just ask you, Lord, to continue to meet their needs, encourage them, open the doors there. Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, for our revivals that's coming up. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, for Brother Knox. I just pray, God, that you just even now begin to work in his heart for the messages that I need, that we need. I pray for Brother Bill and his family, for Ashley. God, I know she's carrying a really heavy load. And God, I don't know the outcomes. I don't know the ins and outs. But Lord, I trust you. Lord, I pray tonight, God, we just give her to you. Lay her at your feet. I just pray for the family, God, as they go through these days, that you would strengthen them and comfort them. Lord, we do ask you to be with Miss Aretha. Touch her body. God, just give her strength. God, heal her if it be your will there. For Miss Rose, we just ask you, Lord, to help Miss Linda, Brother Melvin, the family there as they're going through these days. For Brother Hunting, God, I pray for him and his wife. God, that you just continue to watch over them. And God, continue to help him to heal. For Brother Sheldon and his family as they go through these days. And for Brother Roush, Lord, I know he's going through some tough times, Lord. I just pray, God, you encourage him. For Miss Amy, she's recovering tonight. Lord, I pray that you touch her. Lord, we do pray for Seth as he's going to be flying hopefully tomorrow. I pray, God, you build a hedge about him, Lord, keep him safe. God, just bring him home safely if it be your will. Lord, we do pray, dear God, for Ryan Dillard and the needs there with their family. I just pray a hand upon them. Do pray for this Steve Reynolds that has the liver and kidneys problems shutting down. Lord, we just pray your hands upon them. Lord, again, as the man said, Lord, I believe. And Lord, I know we all say we believe. But Lord, I know tonight, God, there's some places probably in every one of our lives, Lord, that, God, we've got a little bit of unbelief. And Lord, I know the old devil, he's trying to find, he's looking, he's seeking, he wants to. Try to find that place of unbelief, God, where our faith isn't where it needs to be, God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, you'd help us to take that shield of faith, lock ourselves together, help us to find that protection, that defense. God, help us to find that power that stays there with faith, Lord. And Lord, again, we thank you for the privilege of church, God, just to be able to come together. Lord, go with us tonight, God. I do pray for safety as we travel home. God, just ask you, Lord, to give rest tonight, Lord. And God, if you let us see another day, I just pray, God, Lord, that we'd make it a day that's pleasing unto you. And Lord, as we quoted that verse there, without faith it's impossible to please you. Lord, help us to have that type of faith.
And Lord, we thank you, praise you, glorify you for all you do. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a good evening.